One of the most damning aspects of the 38 Studios disaster was the utter lack of monitoring of the $75 million taxpayer-backed subsidy to the failed video game company. Investors were promised that IBM would offer an independent, third-party check on the firm and its performance. But in the rush to get the deal done before the deal's prime opponent, Lincoln Chafee, took office as governor, the monitoring agreement was never signed. That meant no independent scrutiny of the fledgling company's development schedule and scant oversight of its budget. Well, we all know how that turned out, with taxpayers on the hook for millions in state-backed bonds when the company went belly up. Sadly, while 38 Studios is the most egregious failure of Rhode Island's government in recent years, it isn't the only one. Just last week, Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis broke a story that has to leave a bitter taste in the taxpayers' collective mouth. It turns out the State Department of Transportation is negotiating a likely consent decree with the federal government due to environmental damage caused by years of poor oversight of runoff from highways around the state. The state and federal governments have spent more than $1 billion on programs to reduce pollution in Narragansett Bay, which was once a near open sewer. Now we discover that the DOT doesn't even know the locations of 25,000 stormwater catch basins across the Ocean State. It's fine for Governor Gina Raimondo to roll out a fancy new $4 million plus initiative to promote Rhode Island tourism. Yet all this advertising and PR won't amount to a hill of beans if highway runoff contributes to water pollution. Tourists can't swim at closed beaches. And don't be surprised if the feds penalize our state government for this mess. Any fines that are levied will be paid for by, guess who? You. Then there's the troubling news from the State Department of Children, Youth, and Families. This agency that is supposed to help troubled children has signed millions of dollars in contracts with no financial controls or oversight. A Harvard University expert called it the worst case of financial mismanagement he had ever seen at a child welfare agency. And the problems don't stop there. Cranston's home to the Eleanor Slater, the state-run hospital for seriously disabled patients and those with profound psychiatric needs. The hospital is now under an order to correct a plethora of problems in order to retain its license. Fixing those deficiencies is sure to cost even more state money. All these examples point to a glaring statehouse pitfall. That's the lack of oversight and accountability in the General Assembly. Lawmakers talk a good game when it comes to oversight, but little ever gets done. We've all heard the excuses over the years. For instance, the Smith Hill crowd likes to say, hey, we're a part-time citizen legislature, and we don't have the staff or expertise to undertake big investigations. Or they play the blame game, pointing fingers at the governor's top administrators who run the government. Yet anyone who understands the working of the assembly knows that's just so much baloney. Lawmakers do very little in the opening months of January and February, when committees barely have agendas and the floor sessions often last for just a few minutes. If Smith Hill really wants change, here's what lawmakers can do. They can establish strong and effective oversight committees that dig beneath the veneer of state programs and agencies. They could also set up an inspector general's office with the staff and resources to provide ongoing monitoring of state spending. Rhode Island taxpayers deserve more accountability and less of the same old at the People's State House.